For Connecticut Public Radio, I'm John Henry Smith. I am pleased to be joined now by Connecticut Senior Senator Richard Blumenthal. As you know, sir, Connecticut's Public Utilities Regulatory Authority had a hearing yesterday, not regarding the much criticized performance of Eversource and United Illuminating before, during, and after Tropical Storm Isaias, but specifically about Eversource's controversial rate increase right before the storm. You spoke something you've repeated often, that Eversource should be broken up. Why is that the best option for Connecticut power consumers who pay some of the highest energy rates in the nation?
This abject failure in responding to this storm is only the latest example of its failure to be responsive and responsible to consumers. And as you may recall, Eversource, in fact, is the result of a merger between Northeast Utility, the Connecticut-based company, and NSTAR, based in Boston. Now the management of Eversource is in Boston. What I'm saying is break it up. Go back to the way it was, but consider public ownership. Their rates are lower. In Norwich, the rate is 24% lower than Eversource, and they respond more quickly in a storm. In Norwich, the response time was maximum 2 days to everybody who lost power. Of course, Eversource took about a week, in some instances 8 or 10 days, to restore power across its consumer base. And let me just emphasize, there is nothing about Eversource that makes that kind of response impossible. They simply do on a bigger scale what Norwich Public Utilities and Groton and Wallingford and Norwalk and others around the state, there are about, I think, 7 or 9 of them, do every day on a lower, smaller scale, but they do it a lot better because they don't have the profit motive. And as you know, the profits at Eversource this last quarter were 7 times what they were comparably last year.
The Office of Legislative Research studied the issue of breaking up the state's largest utility, I believe, back in 2011. Their report basically said, yeah, it can be done, but it's going to be really, really hard. Is this doable? How is it doable?
It is doable. You know, Ma Bell was broken up. A lot bigger company, a lot more complex. Look at the innovation and the consumer responsiveness that it unleashed in the telephone industry. We don't even call it telephone industry anymore. It unleashed such a wave of innovation and new thinking. Same can be true here. It would have to be financed creatively. It would have to give the shareholders fair compensation. It would have to be bonded so that the costs would be paid back without higher rates to consumers, and it would have to involve new management. The management should be shaken up just as the companies should be broken up.
Do you think the will to break up Eversource now exists statewide, especially with all the anger we've seen expressed toward them since the storm?
There is certainly a will, not only in the anger and outrage that I've seen all across the state of Connecticut, and the financial losses to small businesses that have sacrificed lots of perishable goods, needed to be discarded, the lost business and households, homes that have suffered losses that may not be compensated by insurance. I think the combination of the rate increase, which was totally unjustified, remember, they earned $124 million more than they projected, and at the same time, they wanted to raise rates. Incomprehensible. So the will is there. I think it's a matter of PURA, the Public Utility Regulatory Authority, exercising some of its muscle, maybe the state legislature, and also, as I mentioned, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission playing some leadership role.
You talked about changing management. Jim Judge, Eversource's CEO, has not spoken publicly about the recent controversies. Have you spoken to him?
I visited with him a few days after the storm, about a week after the storm. And frankly, I said, you need to make refunds and reimbursements. You should do it voluntarily. And I'm asking PURA to order you. I said to him, you should commit that you will not charge consumers for restoring power. There may be hundreds of millions of dollars in costs to Eversource, but you need to commit that shareholders will be paying for it, not the ratepayers. And I said to him, there needs to be changes in management, including your resignation. Essentially, he declined every one of my points. He either refused to agree or he declined to address them. And frankly, I continue to believe he should resign.
Was that a civil conversation?
It was a very civil conversation. He and his team were very courteous to me, and he seems like a real gentleman. But, you know, performance is what counts, and I just think there needs to be a fresh start with a new management team.
Now, I don't want to misquote anybody from Eversource, so I'm not going to quote them when I say this. I believe I have heard it said that there's not as much flexibility for Eversource in terms of the prices they set as we in the public may think. They'll say that, well, we pay a certain amount for the energy and we pass that on at cost to the consumer. I've seen a variety of other metrics that say, well, I mean, you know, various parts of our pricing are set before we even get a hold of it. So how much and at what point in the revenue stream is the flexibility for Eversource?
There is at least some flexibility in their profits. And the best example is the number they gave at the conclusion of the hearing, not before it, but after it was over. They said that they were earning $124 million this year, more than they projected. So it's kind of heads we win, tails you lose. You know,
yeah.
Tell me why they should be making $124 million more than they projected at a time when Connecticut and the rest of the country is going through an economic crisis. People are struggling to put food on the table, to find jobs. We're in the midst of an economic crisis and a healthcare crisis, and they are making more money than ever. Now, I just want to add that part of the blame here is the federal regulatory structure, known as the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, because FERC often approves a very rich rate of return with more adjustments that Eversource can exploit that give it part of those profits. So there needs to be a change in the rate setting process here. Right now, Eversource is guaranteed a rate of return. In other words, you and I, if we mess up, you know, we get fired or we get docked. That's true of most businesses that compete. People can go down the block if they don't like the service at one place or the prices are too high. Here, there's no competition, guaranteed rate of return, regardless of performance. At the very least, prices and profits should be linked to performance, and that's true also of executive compensation. Why should they be made eligible for all kinds of stock bonuses and incentives based on the stock price when that stock price goes up if they exploit consumers with higher profits?
And in that vein, it seemed like one of the weak links in the chain that resulted in the response to Isaias was the number of boots on the ground beforehand. I mean, of course, we've all heard the stories of people coming in from linemen coming in from Canada and California and other places to come and help get Connecticut back online. But there seemed to be a reticence on the part of the big utilities, Eversource being the biggest, to mobilize or even hire enough of the linemen, enough of the troops on the ground to go out and be ready. Is there anything that can be done to mandate them to keep a certain number of boots on the ground? Is that something that would improve with if things go public as opposed to private?
That's a really, really good and important point. Over the years, especially over this last decade, Eversource and United Illuminating, but more dramatically Eversource, has cut back on its internally employed crews and linemen and so forth. It has become more dependent on the outside crews that come to Connecticut as part of a mutual aid pact. So Eversource, in effect, uses crews from Canada, South Carolina, Pennsylvania. I met many of them from those areas. And it has to prepare to make that system work. When I say has to prepare, it has to have them ready and, in fact, in transit here. In this last storm, Eversource arranged for 400 crews. It eventually needed 2,500. If it planned for the right level storm, level four, it would have had more than 1,500. So it lowballed the number it needed, hoping to save money by, in effect, avoiding the expense of having them on their way here so they could begin work as soon as the storm ended. They needed 2,500. They planned only for 400. They've cut their internal employed crews, and that's why it took a long time for people to actually see crews out there on their streets. I went around the state, and people were saying to me, we've seen nobody from Eversource here, nobody even to remove the trees that are on top of the down lines, which are unsafe. Let me just say a word, though, about the linemen who are out there. They are to be thanked and congratulated for all their hard work. Any criticism I have of Eversource is by no means of the linemen and the crews, the workers who are actually restoring that power. They are
absolutely out there. We wish there were more of them, and they were making more money. You know, we are rooting for the linemen, to be sure.
Exactly.
But you talk about the trees being dangerous. There's a law that says that local authorities, if a tree is down the power line, local authorities can't go out there with a power saw and do anything about it. Now, on some level, I understand, because power lines, very dangerous. But still, if Eversource is going to be taking that amount of time, why can't you somehow empower, train the fire departments or the local some of the local government workers in these towns to go out there and at least get the doggone trees off the lines?
Another really important point, you know, the first step in the wake of a storm is to send out the make safe crews. That's what they're called, make safe. They are the ones who, in effect, remove the trees and enable the next wave of workers to actually restore the power. The guys who go out there to get the poles back up and the wires restored, they don't have the equipment to make safe. So that was a critical failing here. Eversource just never performed properly in that first vital function. And yes, maybe others can be trained to do it. They would need certain equipment. There was a real problem of communication here. The top echelons of Eversource simply weren't communicating with the community liaison assigned to every town so that their representatives on the ground couldn't tell local officials, fire department, police, when the crews would be coming. There was a real breakdown in communication. But you're absolutely right that we need to look beyond this real crisis that we have, because we're going to have more storms. They're the new normal. You know, the mega storms are not simply going away. We know that climate change may be contributing, but these storms happen with greater frequency. We should have learned from the storms of 2011, 2012, when reports were written about lack of communication, about many of these problems, lack of sufficient crews. Now is the time to think big and think bold. No more tinkering. Let's figure out how to make the rates lower and performance better. We pay the highest rates on the continental United States. Does the performance match it? I don't think so.
Senator Richard Blumenthal, I so appreciate the time you spent with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Great to be with you.